This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hi, it's a new day, and I'm Rhett Palmer. And I have a friend of mine. He's been in the post office, postmaster, whatever his title was over there for years. We'd say hi to each other. I never even knew that Sylvester McIntosh was an American war hero. And he's a man of great faith now. So are you a pastor now, or you have a doctorate in the Estonia or something like that?
I pastored for 35 years. I'm also a facilitator. I have different sites over Florida. As being the director with Jacksonville Theological Seminary. I'm still in the ministry. I'm a chaplain for many different groups, so leave it at that.
Well, and also, you were in Vietnam.
That is correct.
Got shot near the lung. You went and got your rifle and came back and shot the Viet Cong who shot you. But you, with a bleeding side, I presume, was your lung collapsed or no?
Bruised.
Mm-hmm. You went back into the line of fire to save men's lives.
That is correct.
So you were here, and you know, Jesus said, no one have a greater value than to lay down his life. You know, I want to ask you something. We also have his friend, Pastor Charlie. Good morning, Pastor Charlie. How are you
Good
doing?
Good morning. Go
you know, I think about Jesus, you know, and I tell people, and I think he likes this. I always wonder why he picks boxers. Do you know Pat Robertson was a boxer? Do you know there's a lot of people that were boxers before they became preachers? And I was thinking, so why is God attracted? Well, you know, he says, I have no joy in the timid soul. Well, if you think about it, Jesus was a carpenter. Now, in that age, he had to carry his own wood. Do you think that he was a muscle man? You're darn right he was. He was a man's man. Think about the courage of a man. You did it, but Jesus, knowing he was going to go to the cross when he'd done nothing wrong and lived an exemplary life, but to obey his Father, went to the cross to die for our sins. That is a man's man. He may be tender-hearted, and he may have a lot of mercy.
Well, I go back further than that, Rick. When he went into the temple, what did he do?
Turned over the tables because they'd made a...
And did what? And he cracked the whip.
Did he?
Yes, most certainly did. Today we would say that he was violent, but he was clearing house. You say that, Charlie, you can tell them what it says from there.
What does it say? That they made a what of his house? Say,
my father's house
shall not be a den of thieves,
yeah,
but the house of prayer.
Yeah, because they were selling pigeons and all this other stuff.
Everything.
For sacrifices.
That's
and
it.
Selling doodads and stuff and... Yeah. So here we have about 12 minutes total for this first segment, and they can hear the rest afternoons, and the full 1 hour will do. But how did you come, Sylvester? Wasn't there a time in your life where you didn't know Jesus as an adult?
I always knew Jesus.
Always.
From a kid, God talked to me. People thought I was crazy, thought I was talking to myself.
Audibly?
Yes. And it was until... age of 12 when my parents said, we are not going to force you to go to church anymore. But God had already, the seed had already been planted. At age 16, God really stepped in my life. And I gave in. And he called me to minister at the age of 16 years of age.
Really?
Yes.
Now, I've heard his voice twice. You've heard his voice many times.
Many times, yes. Still hearing his voice.
Really?
You hear him, but you just don't acknowledge him. And that little still voice tell you what to do and you know it's right, that's God talking to you. And you have to acknowledge. So it's not just, it's not in a big wind. It's not in a cloud, a thunder of lightning, all that. But that little still voice.
That guy just spoke about that, didn't he, Isaiah, that God whispered to Elijah?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know that story, but I'm sure going to go back and read it.
Yeah.
So he spoke to him with a whisper.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it does say in the book of Samuel, thy gentleness hath made thee great. It says in the book of Psalms, thy gentleness hath made thee great. And Paul said, one of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness.
Yes, yeah, it.
Okay, so at 16, what exactly happened?
My Sunday school superintendent, she came up to me. She said, you know, we are having a conference next Sunday. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, and you're going to be the speaker, 16 years old. She saw things in me that I did not see in myself. So that week I decided that I was going to sit down and write out what I was going to say. That was on a Sunday. I started writing Sunday night, and I couldn't find the words to say. I write something, and by Wednesday, I had a trash can full of paper.
I think I know where you're going with all
this. So Wednesday, God spoke to me and said, go on a three-day fast.
Ooh.
And I did.
Water or what?
No, nothing at all.
I don't know.
Absolutely. No water? Absolutely nothing for 3 days.
Wow.
By Sunday morning, God had put everything in my spirit and in my heart and in my head. I did never write anything down. I spoke from my heart. Even today, I don't write my sermons down. I go to God in prayer, and God gives me what to say. Not trusting in man, so I don't trust myself. I have to trust the Word of God and Him.
That was some insight right there. Don't trust in man. Hey, Rhett, that includes you as well.
That's right.
Whoa, I hadn't thought of that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. You have to listen to the voice of God and be led by Him. He talks to you, Rick. You just hadn't recognized it yet. Am I right, Charlie?
Yeah, God speaks to us. But, I like to go along with what God said. He speaks to us through the voice of the prophet. So the prophets are men. You know, you just have to hear God yourself and understand man speaks from within himself sometimes. You know, I don't care, godly man or ungodly man. He speaks from within himself sometimes. But then again, he speaks from God, speaks from him to us. And you just have to hear yourself and determine which voice you're going to hear, either man or God. But God going to speak to man. When God began to speak to Israel, they didn't want to hear him. His voice put them scared. They wanted to run, but they couldn't outrun it. So they told Moses, you talk to us. We don't want to hear from God no more.
Is that true? I never knew that.
That's in the Word of God. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that's what happened to me the first time. I'd been born again in my living room, and I heard a scripture, John 10. I was sleeping. John 10:9. I sat up in bed. I said, oh, please, I believe in your son, but I start to hear voices. Now I'm thinking I'm going psychotic. Please don't talk to me. I told God or the angel, whoever it was, it went right through, reverberated right through my inner being. And like, please don't talk to me. Now I've kind of rescinded. Hey, you haven't shown up in about 30 years. Hey, God, could you please speak to me again? Mm. Last night I dreamt of a mist. It was almost like I woke up expecting to see the mist in the room. I really want to see an angel.
God can show you different things, Rick. If you ever read Billy Graham, Angels, Angels, Angels.
Yeah.
Have you read it?
I've looked through it.
God will go back and read it thoroughly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the things that were in God had shown me before it happened. Like I told you, you're talking about my heroism. God had spoke to me 15 minutes prior to me getting shot when he said these words, you're going to get hurt. You're not going to get killed. I have much work for you to do.
This was moments before you were shot?
15 minutes
in Vietnam, you heard an audible voice.
That's it.
And he said, you're going to get hurt.
You're not going to get killed.
You're not going to get killed.
I have much work for you to do.
I have much work for you to do.
Yes.
Wow. You know what I'd like to ask him, though? Like he hasn't made any real promises about what's going to happen. I mean, do you think, like Jesus said, the dead are aware of nothing. Do you think I mean, what do you, I mean, if death is good, then everybody, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there.
That is true.
And I don't want to die. I wake up in the night sometimes and I go, hey, why do you have to kill me? Please, could you end this killing thing? Stop it!
Yeah. But see, we put a lot of things on God that's not of God. Everything, we can stop all this killing. Not just by making law. We talk every time these kids get, we come up with some other law.
What can we do?
First of all, you got to act on it.
Okay, what?
First of all, if you start taking these semi-automatic guns away, that would slow it down, first of all. Not that we're trying to take the gun, but see, this is where men mess up. He put that story out there, and many of us believe it. Do you need a semi-automatic gun to take a bear? I'm just asking the question. A bear down?
No.
Huh?
No.
Do you need that to take a rabbit down? That gun was designated for one thing, to kill.
Well, we differ a little bit here because I know that, you know, the first thing Hitler did was take away the guns. The first thing Castro did. If you take away guns, let's say you take away all guns, the only people who have guns are outlaws. Outlaws have guns.
I did not say, Rick, take away guns. I said semi-automatic guns.
Yeah, but if you take away the semi-automatics, how would we defend ourselves against a bad army? See?
We don't have, hands will be tied. When we talk about a bad army, army was designated, even back with Israel, to protect its people.
Mm-hmm.
We become an army within our own borders, okay? When we have neo-Nazis, all these other different groups, whether it's the Black Panther and all,
hatred on both sides.
Hatred is what's steaming this. When we begin to love one another, we will come. My best friend is white, okay? And we often tell the story, Ron Bennett, the day that he lost his foot, we were doing a patrol. He was on one side of a canal and I was on the other.
Yeah.
And just as he was crossing a bridge, he hit a foot mine. And I went to go to a rescue, and when all of a sudden I heard a click, I'm standing on a bouncing Betty. Okay? Whatever you do, you stay where you're at. They cleared everybody out. Again, God showed up.
All right, I tell you what. We're going to take a little break for the morning show. If you want to hear Sylvester McIntosh's entire story, tune in this afternoon. I'm Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
The Church of the Holy Spirit in Palm City, Florida, invites you to join us in prayer for revival. And tune into this station every Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and p.m. for Glorious Day, a program of spiritual edification and encouragement led by our co-pastors.
Good afternoon, and God bless you. And I thank the entire 89.9 radio station. Thank you for being such a blessing to me and my husband and our entire family every day, 24 hours a day. God bless you all for being such an inspiration in our life. Thank you.